Morning. We'll start a couple minutes early. Welcome to the November 5th, 2016 Saturday session of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. We have a full agenda till just before noon. And to kick that off, we have our open public input. We do have about 10 people that want to talk. Most of you know the policy. Those of you that don't, I call you up two at a time, and then you'll have, once you start talking, 3 minutes, and you'll hear a beeper, and that means bring your, that's the end of the 3 minutes, bring your thoughts to a closure, and then we'll move on. You can bring your, you know, take an extra 5 or 10 seconds. So with that, we will get underway with Nadine Wallace and Ross Barkers, please.
Next month, we're having open public comment on this.
Wallace, I'm from Tacoma, Washington. I am requesting the commission consider only non-lethal tactics to remove so-called problem wolves. After the killing of the wedge pack in 2012, the huckleberry pack in 2014, and most of the profanity peat pack in this, by the state. The wolf is a native North American animal. According to Washington State statistics, there are now only approximately 90 wolves in the whole state. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as of January 2016, there were over 1 million cows in Washington State. The cow is not a native animal to North America. The cow is not on the endangered species list for Washington State. The wolf, a protected animal, is required to be tracked and monitored. Cattle are not required to be tracked and monitored and are allowed to go into the wolves' known territory, and the wolves are punished. In my opinion, this is backwards. Washington State should do its utmost to protect wolves and all native animals of North America.
Any questions? Thank you, Nadine.
Thank you.
Heather Lowe, please. And Ross.
Thank you. Good morning. Ross Barkhurst from South Bend, Washington. Some disadvantage not being allowed to comment on the Columbia River plan after the presentation, but I'll do my best. There have been numerous problems evidenced with the inability for a healthy recreational fishing industry, ESA lested salmon and steelhead, and non-selective gillnets to coexist in the Columbia, non-selective, non-tribal gillnets. As a result, you initiated what the public perceived as a phase-out. Now we have a call for adaptive management after what we thought was the end of the phase-out. I read your policy, and the policy doesn't say this is the end of the phase-out, but that's what people sort of believe. I'll list some of the problems which still exist. Our steelhead, especially the B-run steelhead, are in big trouble. Our sturgeon are in big trouble. When the nets exceed the allotment, for example, of tules, there's no payback to the wrecks the next year. We shut down wrecks early in buoy 10, and they get more than their share, and that's that. A meaningful attempt to adapt would have involved an intensive program, at least to observe in the boats what's going on with the steelhead. I know of people who work for the netters, and they're paid in steelhead. It's just a fact. I understand we don't do observers in Region 5. Right up front, a key section of Buoy 10 area was closed to recreational fishing. I used to fish there. As the fishery shrinks in the rest of the state, it's getting real crowded at Buoy 10. The more crowded it is, the less the fish bite. Alternative gear tests don't seem to have been very meaningful. The public has the impression that we were not very adaptive in testing alternative gear. We hear of the need to keep the commercials whole. This hopefully cannot mean keep them whole without some adaptation on their part. They should not keep the original status quo because they wouldn't adapt, while recreational fisheries and ESA-listed salmon and steelhead are supposed to somehow adapt. That may be where we are. And we fear that we'll be asked to adapt after a three-year phase-out where the commercial industry in Region 5 didn't adapt very much. Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Mr. Barkhurst, we will have at our December meeting open public comment on the Columbia River policy. That is a work in progress currently. There are four of us from this commission that are meeting with three Oregon commissioners and staff trying to find a path forward that works for everyone.
Thank you. That's why I'm here today, is to find out what's going on.
You bet.
Heather Lowe, please.
Good morning, everyone.
And Chris Bachman, come up, please. Heather.
Good morning. It's a little different. I've been here two other times, and it was in the summer. So I drove in from Seattle. My name is Heather Lowe, and this is the third time I've testified on behalf of the Wolves. I have been a person who has followed this story. I've been in animal welfare for 45 years, and that is not just wildlife. That is, I testified for the elephants not to go to the Oklahoma Zoo and instead to sanctuary. I have always been interested in the big picture, and one of the reasons why I like living in the Pacific Northwest is we're supposed to be smarter here. And when I look back on the events that have happened over the course of this wolf development, I've seen that there's opportunity. I get to read in the paper about the helicopters and the other kill protocols that are being employed, and it just doesn't make any sense to me when there is scientific evidence available to this group that they're not either taking into consideration or is not part of the discussion. I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, and the University of Wisconsin has put out a very statistical, scientific report regarding wolves and what happens when the killing increases, and the fact that there is this misconception that killing increases social tolerance. And the University of Wisconsin data proves exactly the opposite, that people lose their respect for wildlife when they are gunned down and not protected. So what I'm asking is, I don't believe the Wolf Advisory Group and your department are doing enough in terms of developing proper protocol according to scientific data. And what I'm a citizen, and I'm here. I don't have a vested interest. I don't have cattle. I'm not part of a nonprofit organization. But it really pains me when people are not doing the smartest thing possible to resolve. We are a we these days. We're not a me. And when I hear that ranchers want to be guaranteed that their existing lifestyle for the last 100 years needs to be preserved, I ask you to look around and see what your career has looked like. I'm 67. I'm reinventing myself because the world is changing. And those people who don't have a vision for what they need to do to accommodate the common good are not being smart business people.
Thank you, Heather.
Thanks.
Questions? Appreciate your comments. Margaret, and Chris, it's all yours.
Thank you. My name is Chris Bachman. I'm a biologist and a middle school science teacher from Spokane Valley, Washington. I'm here today speaking on behalf of the newly formed Eastern Washington Wolf Coalition. We're a coalition of conservation groups based in Eastern Washington. We formed this coalition as advocates of non-lethal management of Washington's wolves. We hope to accomplish this goal through outreach and education and through building alliances with all the stakeholders. We support the Washington Wolf Conservation and Management Plan, We strongly believe reaching the goals put forth in the plan requires adoption of additional protocols to protect and recover wolves across our state and prevent unnecessary killing of gray wolves, a state-listed species, at the taxpayer's expense. Over 70% of Washingtonians support restoring healthy populations of wolves across the state. The Eastern Washington Wolf Coalition strongly believes that to achieve this goal, the state must stop killing adult female wolves, especially where non-lethal deterrents to wolf and livestock depredations have proven to be ineffective. This failure is largely due to on-the-ground indefensible terrain and existing grazing practices on public land that allow and encourage unchecked dispersal of livestock across tens of thousands of acres of thickly forested mountainous regions where non-lethal deterrents have proven ineffective. Conflicts inherent in the existing grazing practices that have existed since the 1930s and were established in the absence of gray wolves simply cannot be resolved without substantial changes to the grazing guidelines. When you refer to the handout that we prepared, and I provided a copy for you, and I'll also submit electronically, you will find additional background information and details regarding this issue. The Eastern Washington Wolf Coalition believes there are solutions to this problem that allow for coexistence of wolves and livestock on public lands. These solutions will require additional protocols, state assistance, and incentives that will save the Department of Fish and Wildlife and Washington state taxpayers time and money. These include, but are not limited to, dedicated pasturing, adopting husbandry techniques such as bunching up livestock, night penning, and other strategies proven to be effective in the Tom Miner Basin outside of Yellowstone, as well as the Wolf River Wolf Project in Idaho. In addition, supplemental feeding and pasturing for livestock should be added to the toolbox of non-lethal techniques used when there are depredations that are likely to occur. Thank you for providing me the opportunity to make comments on behalf of our newly formed coalition.
Thank you, Chris, and I appreciate knowing there are people like you teaching middle school science, dedicated teachers. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much for your testimony, and I'm interested to hear about the coalition. The department is not the entity that issues the permits and controls the grazing, and any sort of help we can get with that in terms of wolf management would be, I think, a project well worth working on.
You're in Spokane Valley. Neighbors.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. And Jennifer Wilson. Margaret.
Yes, I'm Margaret Tudor. I'm Executive Director of the Pacific Education Institute. I'm a proud Fish and Wildlife retiree. And I'm here with good news, and I'd like to look for the partnership with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. Before I explain what that partnership is, I want you to know that probably every 5th, 8th, and 10th grader is outside doing field investigations, which we developed at the Fish and Wildlife Agency with AFWA, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. So we are able to get students outside to learn. We also work with the Ecological Integrity Monitoring Project that you have in your agency in the wildlife program, where students in Eastern Washington are looking at wildlife areas and for habitat, wildlife, through photo point monitoring. And I'm working with your invasive species person to make sure we minimize any invasive species in those science kits. So we're really working hard to bring in the interests of the Department of Fish and Wildlife in maintaining populations. My purpose for being here is I would like to work with you on developing a workforce initiative where we feature your agency scientists, and any natural resource manager is an engineer. I'm all about science, technology, engineering, and math, field STEM. And we would like to feature some of your scientists and engineers, your natural resource managers, in our workforce initiative so teachers can explain that while students are outside doing their science and undertaking their stewardship for wolves, then they can aspire to careers in the agency and in other natural resource agencies. And you have a handout which describes some of the resources we've created with the National Governors Association, with the Washington Governor's STEM Education Innovation Alliance, and I've featured actually Dr. George Ziegelstrom, who's a Bear Control scientist and engineer with another organization. And you have your own scientists and engineers, and I'd love to highlight them, and so our young people can aspire to being a part of your agency. I did talk to one of your staff in human resources, and they indicated they do want students to understand the pathway to becoming an employee of the agency. And it's not strictly, you don't finish high school and suddenly go into one of those scientific jobs. There's a lot of different entry-level opportunities. So I'm looking forward to a partnership with you, and I have to say we're not the only ones interested in this work. This is U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at the national level who've created cards. Well, we're not interested in creating cards necessarily, but certainly slides that we can put on the website. It'd be on your website or our website, where teachers can access those slides of those of your employees and put them into their lessons. Another purpose for this is I want to drive students to your website where you're explaining where you're wildlife areas are, what the habitat and wildlife lives, where they live. I want to drive students to your website to learn more about wildlife, fish and wildlife and habitat. Thank you.
Questions? What would be the next step, Margaret, do you think, that you would like us to do?
If you could indicate to your human resources people that this is something that you'd like to work, have Pacific Education Institute work with, continue going forward with your human resources people.
You spoke with Cindy, I think.
I spoke with Michael. Oh. Cindy wasn't available. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, as we all know, the retiring folks out there are growing, and the need to have the next generation come up is critical. So
right.
I think we can talk about that. This
Thank
seems
you.
To be a no-brainer winning partnership.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. You should talk to the person who just was behind us. Get to know Chris. See, Chris, I'm your dating service today.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. And Jennifer, or I'm sorry, Michelle Seidelman, please. And Jennifer.
My name is Jennifer Wolfsong, and I thank you very much for taking my testimony today, even though I live in Oregon. I'm here to talk about my opposition to the destruction of the Profanity Peak Wolf Pack this past August and September. While I do understand the concern that ranchers have to protect their economic investments, they must take reasonable and ample steps themselves to do that. It's my understanding that the rancher who lost the most cattle did not take reasonable precautions to prevent depredation of his cattle. He purposefully put his cattle in harm's way by grazing them on public land in known wolf territory and not taking necessary measures to ensure their safety and protect his own economic interests. The wolves should not have been blamed and killed for carelessness and recklessness on behalf of the rancher, and taxpayers should not have to pay for this killing, especially without any public or scientific input. Most Washingtonians want to see wolves recover to a healthy population, and science has proven that wolves and other apex predators are not only necessary for maintaining a healthy ecosystem, but that they can even bring ecosystems back into balance when they return. The same can certainly not be said for cattle. I urge the Commission to demand that ranchers take ample and non-lethal measures to take care of their cattle, especially when they choose to graze them in known wolf territory and on public land. I urge the Commission to seek public and scientific input when deciding whether or not to destroy 8% of the wolf of the recovering population. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jennifer. Any questions from the Commission? Thank you for coming up and joining us. And Miguel, and Michelle. Michelle, then Miguel. I'm sorry, I can't. Ramirez, is it? Okay. I could read the first part. So, Michelle.
Thank you. I, too, am asking the Commission to use non-lethal methods to remove wolves from conflict areas. WAG and WDFW made the decision for lethal removal of the wolves with no discussion or input with the public. This is our taxpaying dollars, and the majority of residents of Washington State are opposed to the murder of this iconic species that was wiped out by humans and are struggling to regain a small amount of recovery here in our state. The Wolf Advisory Group composition is problematic. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife has appointed no scientists, economists, or professional educators to this group, even though the group is being tasked with providing advice to the department on wolf issues that should be informed by best available science, economic analysis, and trained professionals to public education and messaging. The wolf killing protocol the Wolf Advisory Group agreed to was utterly inadequate for a situation in which livestock was turned out onto well-known wolf territory without sufficient, sustainable conflict prevention measures in place for the type of terrain where the conflicts occurred. Of the two ranchers who incurred losses, the one had ample measures in place from the start and lost only one calf. The other rancher the other ranchers on whose behalf the state killed the wedge pack 4 years ago for, incurred multiple losses after turning his cattle out with no ranchers to regulatory monitor them and refused to participate in the Washington State University research program that would have monitored his cattle. It is appalling that a second wolf pack was targeted for elimination on his behalf. Wolves should not be killed when livestock are in place in known wolf territory without first having in place timely, ample, and appropriate non-lethal conflict measurements, and on public lands where the losses incur, in this instance, the bar for killing wolves should be much higher, or wolves should not be killed at all. And I just want to say that you guys are uniquely positioned to stand on the right side of saving this planet and the species and biodiversity that all of us in this room are so dependent on. They're an apex predator. They have intrinsic value, and they have value in keeping a healthy balance to our ecosystem. So I really plead that you guys reconsider using lethal measures to deal with the wolf-cattle conflict.
Thank you, Michelle. Any questions? Thank you for your passion. Appreciate that. And Stacy Taraghi, this is a rough morning for me on the names front here. So. Sorry. Did I do it right?
Pretty close.
Okay. See everybody's a critic.
I don't see anybody getting up.
Stacy? Okay. No, from Gig Harbor? Okay.
What'd she say?
Stacia. Thank you. Now, the Taraghi? Okay. Miguel, it's a hard act to follow, but it's yours.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to stay here and talk with you guys. I have 10 years in the USA. I live in St. Helens, Oregon. And it's shocked me to see the way we are close to lose again the wolves in this country. In my country, in Mexico, is interesting the way the things is happening with extinction of species, and feel sad to see the wolves to be again close to be an extinction when these guys lived in this land for thousands of years, and now we debate about the life of this beautiful species, and it's for me and my personal opinion, it's really insane to see here. We have to debate about the life of this species, and the question for me is who we are. We have to work together. We have to put all our 200% energy and try to save these beautiful animals. They are very important for our ecosystem, and they already proven the Yellowstone how important they are, how they work, in the science, they already prove they're not bad. They are good for the ecosystem. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Carol Pearsall. See, I got that one. Okay. And Stacia?
I am here to also speak about Profanity Peak Wolves, and I don't want to go over, I agree with most of what people have said. My view, coming from someone who has been volunteering to help with wolves, and I am a volunteer at Wolf Haven. I'm not speaking for Wolf Haven, I'm just a citizen, but I saw the damage that was done in the public trust, and when Profanity Peak wolves were killed in that situation. We saw a lethal situation unfolding and nothing done about it. And it was really hard to watch. I think that the WAG started off in a really good way, but it was violated by what happened, because lethal protocol starts, I think, with not putting cows in terrain that's going to be lethal for them in the first place, and then trying to say, well, we'll do the best that we can to protect them. Obviously, we saw through the cameras and the scientists that were there that the wolves were going to predate on the cattle. And the cattle weren't moved. It's just barely anything was done. It felt like we just sat there and we watched a horrible situation unfolding. And what that did with the WAG is it just eroded what we thought we had accomplished with the WAG and in cooperation with one another. Anybody can obviously do kind of what they want to do as long as following the law. Somebody can say they want to use, make the steps to kind of make it look like they're using non-lethal. We all know that in the territory that the wolves are in, you really have to make an effort to protect the wolves, especially in some of that terrain. And I just think that if the terrain is that so much so that you can't actually protect the cattle in that terrain, then that's the first violation of non-lethal, because there's no way to protect them there. And you have to, if you still want to, amp up the non-lethal protocol. But we just watched a horrible situation happening. The public, you know, everybody just was waiting, and it came out that that's exactly what happened. And to know that all of our public officials that we tried to work with and that we're putting trust in to help all of us, you know, help with this wildlife, did nothing but wait for it to unhappen and then pull out the guns. That incited so much anger for the public. And while Wolf Haven, our board of directors who's on the WAG and stands behind all the work that they put in, the Wolf Haven itself, our organization, you know, it took a beating. I mean, the public was just pissed. And they saw, I just heard this complete anger, and I was in the middle of it too, because there's nothing I want more than to protect wolves. And to have people that always looked up to me personally as a wolf protector and turn against me personally just because I'm associated with Wolf Haven. And I applaud Diane for, you know, standing her ground. But the organizations, the two organizations, Washington Fish and Wildlife, the WAG, and the ranchers and everybody involved in it, they really need to show that they're actually behind what we agreed with in trying to do non-lethal, or it just erodes the whole thing. It erodes public trust and everything.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? And Carol, you're the last one.
I tend to over-talk, so you have a timer? Is that what that buzzer was? Okay.
It's not a humming in your ear.
I don't think I have anything to say that you haven't heard before, and I know these days get long. I withdrew my donate. Well, I took the pictures of my adoptive wolf off my refrigerator because I had given money to Wolf Haven, and I felt betrayed. And I attended a WAG meeting. I don't know if it's the latest one. It was about a month and a half ago. And there was a guy who did a lengthy exposition about his software modeling. And we saw that just as you see in Oregon, the wolves in Washington State are in the northeast corner, but we project that in 50 years they'll be moving. And I asked, does this software take into account loss of habitat in the next 50 years while we see the PACs thriving and moving into Chehalis, Centralia, Packwood, Randall, Morton? We're going to be naming these thriving wolf packs after the Walmart parking lot pack, the next to the auto body shop pack, because the guy said, no, it doesn't take into account the increase in human population. His modeling, in which he wants us to believe that in the next 50 years in Washington State, wolves are going to thrive. And I have attended a protest outside this building, and somehow I came away with a flyer. Somebody put it into my hand, and it said at the time $78,000 taxpayer dollars had been spent to put snipers in the air to kill the very few wolves in that family in the Profanity Peak Pack way out there. This I'm pointing to the northeast from my point of view. And I can tell you that when I post on Facebook, it gets results. Someone I know and respect, but I have not advocated to her specifically, has stopped eating beef. She isn't going to do it anymore. She isn't going to send her money to ranchers who behave this way. And I'm proud of her. I considered not eating beef, and then I decided, well, what I'll do is I'll look for small ranches that are run in humane ways in the Willamette Valley. I live in Nyatsu, Oregon. And I'm going to attend a meeting that's going to be held in Ashland, the purpose of which is to teach ranchers how to coexist. Be wise. They can't do what you can do. You have to do a hard, terrible thing. You have to keep them alive. Somebody does. It's you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol, and thank you all. We appreciate hearing comments. It does help us in our deliberations, and we appreciate you taking your time out on a Saturday, a rainy Saturday morning, getting up early to come out here and join us. So, thank you. We will now move into